because your name is power. Your name is also healing. That is exactly what we all need. Healing that comes from above. Healing that restores the heart and the mind. Healing that gives us the strength to move forward as you continue to lead us on. So we ask that your Holy Spirit will be our speaker today. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pathfinders, I was so glad to have you here in your uniforms and staff. The Fallbrook Church just wants to thank you for all that you do. Roger and all the parents that support this ministry, it's incredible what they do. The time they invest, the monies they invest, the talents that they invest to help our young people put into practice the things we are taught in church. Amen? When I was in Pathfinders, I was taught to pray. And I practiced it there. They have a list of Bible texts that they have to memorize or that they have to read. And we took time to study God's Word. And like some of them last year, I had also that privilege of doing my first sermon in Pathfinders. And yes, our Pathfinders are even taught to speak in public and to preach God's Word. And what an opportunity. It's not just pastors who get to share, but also our children. Amen? And so we thank you for taking the time to be part of this important ministry of our church and for sharing the good news. Practice. What is this practice? I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says the actual application of an idea, belief, or method. Number two, a repeated exercise in or performance of an activity. What are the practices that we want to experience here in our church? And as we've been studying the book of Acts, and we found out that one of the practices that they had was the practice of witnessing. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't always come easy, does it? Have you ever been out at the beach and you've seen hundreds of people there and you thought, do they know who Jesus is? Or have you been to the store and just seen the stores crowded with people and you've asked yourself, how will they know? How will they experience what I'm experiencing? The Bible tells us that the early church, the early believers, were great at witnessing. And this because they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. The early church was where it was a group of people that they prayed, they studied the Bible, they made sure that the differences that they had were put aside. And they came as a unit, as one, and they made decisions together. They made decisions, important decisions together. And yes, the early church was a church that preached the gospel. And that's where I want to focus today. A church that practiced prophetic preaching. As you've heard, we were going to have a series called Prophecies of Hope. Prophecies of Hope. And you might think, prophecies, wow, that has to do with future events. Things are going to happen in the future. We're not sure about it, but the Bible does tell us about the future. Or some of us might think it's things of the past. It has to do with historical dates, with names, things that have already passed but were predicted before they happen. But church family, I want to tell you that prophecy is present truth. It has to do with things that can happen today in your life and in my life. How did the church go about preaching? How did they share? And I'm so happy that Luke took the time to share with us some of the sermons that Peter shared with the congregation. We saw this last week and the week before that Peter preached to a crowd of people. And how many got baptized? 3,000 people got baptized. Amen? 3,000 people. If we look at how many Adventists are in Southeastern California Conference, 3,000 is 5% increase for our conference in one day. Amen? And for them, it was way different because they were only 120 when they started. And they went from 120 to 3,000. And in the text we're going to be reading today, we're going to find that Peter went out again and he preached. And 5,000 more people came to know about Jesus. Amen? It says that 5,000 believed. Do you think this could happen today? I believe it can happen today. But in order for it to happen, we need to preach like they did. Amen? And you might be thinking, Pastor Sam, then that's your duty. No, it's not. It's not just my duty. It's your duty as well. And you might be like, no, that's like the last thing I'm ever going to do. I can't share. I get nervous. I start sweating. I don't know what to say. But this is a task that God has given each one of us to share the good news. So we're going to go to the Bible and find out how they did it. And in the first chapters of the book of Acts, we find that they shared from Scripture. Amen? They shared from Scripture. Their preaching was biblical. And we find that Peter quotes from Isaiah. He quotes from the Psalms. He even quotes from Moses, from the law. And he invites the listeners to go to Scripture and find out if what he is saying is true. Yes, early church saw that the Word of God was very important for them. It was central. The message of the Scripture was clearly presented to point to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen? And this was important for the early church. This leads us to our next point. Prophetic preaching points always to whom? To Jesus. Doesn't point to self. Doesn't point to the big events that are going to happen. It always points to Jesus. And as it pointed to Jesus, it points to the fact that only in Jesus we can be saved. Only in Jesus we can be saved. I was astonished as I was reading the Scriptures. And I'm going to just invite you to look at the passages because we're running out of time. But look at the passages in chapters 2 and 3 and find out what the message, how they presented this message. You know how they presented it? They presented Jesus and Him resurrected. That was the message. Jesus has risen. He is alive. He's alive. And He can do things that were done in His time today. That was the message. And the message that he brought was also, that they brought was the resurrection. And I thought to myself, why the resurrection? Why is this such an important message? Brothers and sisters, we will all experience death if Jesus doesn't come soon. We will all experience death. But the message of the Bible is not that death gives us eternal life, but the message of the Bible is that the resurrection in Jesus gives us life. That's the biblical message. A message of hope. A message that this mortal body one day will change to immortality. A powerful message. This body that is decaying will be made new again. And with this, a message of repentance. Key message for the early church. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. God is still a God of mercy. If we will come to Him, He can forgive us. He can cleanse us. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and also the sins of the entire world. If we what? Confess. If we come to Jesus. And so they proclaimed Jesus. They said, this is what we need to talk about. This is what we need to share. But prophetic preaching is not only biblical, it's not only Christ-centered. Prophetic preaching is bold. Prophetic preaching is bold. And that's where I think a lot of us all of a sudden start shaking. At least sometimes I do. Fear. Fear of what? Fear of what people might say, fear of what people might think, fear of what people might do to you or me. Fear. Did the early believers have something to fear? What were they preaching? Jesus. And what had happened to Jesus just a few weeks before? He had been crucified. He had been crucified. Not the most popular name at the time. Not the most popular subject to preach about. But they were supposed to proclaim Jesus. And I want to share a story that is found in the book of Acts. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. And we're going to see it just really quickly. And we're going to look at this experience that Peter and John had when they went up to the temple at the ninth hour to do what? To pray. These men were men of prayer. And we are also called to pray as we present God's word. And when they were there, verse 2 tells us, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There was a man who had been lame from his birth. Years and years have not been able to walk. And yes, he had heard that Jesus could heal him. And he had heard that Jesus was in Jerusalem. And he had asked his friends, and praise God for godly friends, amen? And he said, please take me to Jesus. Please, I want to walk. And I've heard that he could heal me. And the friends carried him, and or I don't know if they put him on a donkey or something, and they just brought him to Jerusalem. And he found out that Jesus had been crucified. Wow, what a disappointment. They killed the person who could have made me walk again. So his friends took him to the temple, thinking maybe he can get a little bit of money to get back home, or maybe he can get a little bit of money so he can eat and just take care of himself. We'll put him at the temple. Maybe someone there will have mercy upon him and give him some money. And John and Peter were walking to that temple. And as they approached the man, they asked him to look at him. Look at us. And Peter told him this. Silver and gold, I have none. He was telling them, we're broke. We don't have money. And he was disappointed. But then the next words encouraged him. But what we have, we will give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stand up. And they reached out their hand and walk. And at that moment, this person stood up, and not only did he walk, but as they were walking into the temple, the Bible tells us that he was jumping. I don't know how he learned to walk in such a short time, and even jump, which is harder. But he was praising God because God can still work miracles today. Amen? He can still work miracles today. And that was the belief of these early believers. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is the same God today. The God of Peter and John is the same God today. And as they walked in, the crowds just started to come in and start seeing what had happened. And they were just like, wow, did you see that? It right in front of our eyes, this happened. Nobody told us. We're seeing this. And when Peter saw it, verse 12, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. And then these men called this crowd to repentance. Not only did they point out, hey, you're the ones who crucified the Messiah. You're the ones who made this happen, that he, the Prince of Life, was put to death. But also, it is God who has risen him from the dead, and today salvation has come to this place. Repent. Repent. And it says, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. If we jump down to chapter 4, verse 4, you know how many believe this message? It says right there, how many? 5,000 people in one sermon. 5,000 people with one sermon. It was biblical, it was Christ-centered, and it was bold. Amen? It was bold. But that got the attention also of the religious leaders. And these religious leaders came over, and chapter 4 tells us what they did. Verse 3 tells us, and they laid hands on them, which means they put them into prison. They were taken to prison. And what were they accusing him of? Verse 2, our scripture reading, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That was their message. That was what was making these leaders mad. What would Peter do? Would he share in the name of Jesus? These leaders knew what Peter had done just a few weeks before. He had denied his master. They said, we'll take care of this. Let's just get them before the Sanhedrin. Let's make a judgment that they cannot do this, and they will stop their preaching. But that was not the case. It tells us the name of the people who were there. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, all the important people, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name but Jesus. The rulers were astounded. They're like, what? This is not the same Peter. This is a different Peter. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, preach boldly the salvation that can be found only in Jesus Christ. And guess who noticed it? They did. In fact, verse 13 tells us, Now, when they saw the boldness of who? Of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's a passage in 1 John chapter 4. It talks about this kind of boldness. Would you like to have this kind of boldness? I want to have that kind of boldness. Boldness that proclaims who Jesus is to a world that does not know him. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How can you and I be bold to preach the good news? We need to love Jesus with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Love is what motivates us, isn't it? I shared with you 2 weeks ago. I proposed and asked my wife out at the same time. I said, Carolina, would you like to be my girlfriend? Because I would like to marry you one day. Crazy. Bold. Bold. Because there was what in my heart? Love. There was love. How much do we love Jesus? How much do we love God? Could it be that the reason why we don't preach boldly about him? Is it 50%, 75%, or do we love him 100%? John and Peter loved Jesus 100%, to the point that they were willing to put their own life at risk to share him with those that did not know him. I was talking with a friend of mine, and something that I'm going to share is that the only way we can surrender to 100% is if we take the time to know who that person is. Correct? It's going to take time to know who God is. And when we really, truly know him, when we take the time to read Scripture on a daily basis, when we take the time to pray, when we are confident that the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, is the same God today, our lives are going to change. Amen? Our lives are going to change. And our preaching will be different. Our sharing at home with our co-workers here at church is going to be different. And I believe that thousands will come to know who Jesus is. These Pharisees and Sadducees were astounded. And going really quickly down, they asked them, please do not teach this anymore. We're going to let you go because, hey, the evidence is here. The man is walking. We can't deny it. But please, don't speak this anymore. And if we go to the verse 19, it says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, now it was their turn to ask them a question. You be the judge, they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more then unto God. Pretty bold, huh? You be the judge. You answer this question. Who should we answer to, God or to you? In verse 24, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And verse 21 tells us that they were left and they were threatened. And what they did is they didn't just say, okay, time to go home. We're going to take a break for now. It's getting a little dangerous out there. But what they did is they went to their church. And why did they go to the church? What was the church doing at that very moment? They were praying. They were praying for Peter and for John, praying that nothing would happen to them as had happened to their master Jesus. They knew that their life was at stake. But when they got there, they reported what had happened with all the chief priests and the elders. And what they did was they prayed. And I think this is important. As we continue to prepare for these meetings, we need to take time to pray. And what brought my attention as I read this story was, what did they pray for? What were they specifically praying for? And please read with me Acts chapter 4, verses 24 and on. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all what? Boldness they may speak thy word. With all what? With all boldness. They didn't ask God, please remove the threats. Please remove those people. But what they asked was for more boldness, for more of God's Spirit, for more of his love, to share with boldness. They continued praying, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and thy signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Then they were praying for miracles too. And I think we often don't want to go there. We're scared that God could actually do that today. That he could actually raise people from the dead. That he could actually make someone walk again who has never been able to walk since an accident or since childbirth. But they were asking for that kind of boldness to pray and to speak the word and to heal. And verse 31 tells us, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. What has God done in your life today? What did he do for you this week? What did he do for you this month? What has he done for you this year? Share it. It's important. Those who listen, we get what? Encouraged. That God is not just the God of the past, but he's the God of the present. And I'm sure that in this room, there are people here who've had a wonderful experience this week with Jesus. I have a friend who's not an Adventist. He's a Presbyterian. The truth that he knows, he puts it into practice. Doesn't know everything. But he's someone who calls me to share what God has done in his life. Can you imagine the encouragement that I receive from hearing what Jesus is doing in his life? And the invitation that God makes to us all, Pathfinders included, is to preach biblically, to preach by pointing to Jesus as the only salvation, but to preach with boldness, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.